The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Well, good morning. Super excited to be with you this morning. I was hoping this morning would be a little less weird looking into this camera and preaching to E-Step and Grayson, but it's not. It's still really weird. So we're missing you, missing seeing your faces, and hopefully we will be back together before too long. I've learned a lot about myself over the last 2 months, and I'm sure many of you have. But one of the things that I've learned is that I watch entirely too much baseball. We, at the Keels house, starting in April all the way through, really, I guess, up to November, on a normal time period, you'll find baseball going on at the house. So if it's not the Yankees, it's the Braves. If it's not the Braves, it's whoever else is playing. So we've been without that, of course, since April. And so I've had some extra free time that I've been able to find other things to do. And one of the things that I've had extra time to do is just read some books that I've had for a while that I haven't had the opportunity to read. And I'm a huge hymn guy, and one of the books that I've been reading is a book on the stories of hymns. And one of my favorite hymns of all time is The Solid Rock. And in this particular book, not only do they kind of give you a glimpse of what's happening, but it also it gives you some verses that may have been left out over time. And I wanted to share this with you this morning, and this is what it says. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Midst all the hell I feel within, on his completed work I lean. I trust his righteous character, his counsel, promise, and his power. His honor and his name's at stake to save me from the burning lake. So I was reading this, and I was reading kind of the background of what's going on. And the author of this particular hymn describes this time of his life as a spiritual drought, spiritual dryness. And the truth is if we walk this Christian walk long enough, all of us will have a time in our life where we experience this. And here's what happens in our mind, I think, so many times. I think we automatically get this legalistic, checkboxing, judgmental mindset that when this takes place, whether it's in our lives or whether it's in others' lives, that we automatically think that there is somewhere behind this a sin, a wrongdoing that has been caused by shame and guilt that we're dealing with. But the truth is that's not always the way it is. There's other factors that can be a part of this. And what I want us to do this morning is to look at Psalms 42. Kyle read this over us a while ago. And I just want us to look at this particular psalm, because what we see in this psalm is the very same thing that's taking place in the psalmist. As you look at the first two verses, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? If I go all the way back to the 90s, when I was a youth pastor, this particular psalm immediately starts to paint a picture in my mind. You used to see these posters, or even t-shirts with this deer drinking from this flowing stream of water. But that's not really what we're seeing here. What we see here is a deer that is dying of thirst. He's in panic mode. He's gone back to the well. He's gone back to the stream that he's always been able to quench his thirst with. And he's there, and there's no water. He's painting a metaphor here of who he is. So he's the deer, and the dry riverbank is God. Now, what he's doing here is he's not saying that he doesn't believe in the living God. He's just not experiencing his presence. And so many times in our lives, there are going to be times that we feel this. And there are different conditions and there are different factors that come into play here. In this particular psalm, we see three important things. And what I want you to know here is these things are not always, it's not always these three, but I would tell you the majority of the time, based off experience in my life, there is some kind of connection between these and the drought, the spiritual dryness that we may be feeling. If you look with me at verses 4 and verses 6, if you read with me, it says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." And if you skip down to 6, "And my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and from Hermon and Mount Mazar." What's interesting is happening here is you're seeing a piece, a factor that could be leading into this drought. And what he's describing is a loss of community. We don't know if he's been pushed out, if he's left, or what the actual reasoning is, but he's gone from the south to the north. So he's gone away from the temple. He's been removed from a group of people that he's worshiped with, that he's done life with, that he's done community with. I think so many times we underestimate the need for community. If you're around Summit very long, you know we continue to talk about life groups and being a part of worship. There's a reason for that. Statistics tell us that if you were to ask 80 to 90% of people that profess to be Christians, they would tell you that they can do the Christian walk, they can do the Christian life without being part of a church body. And if you've experienced anything over the last 2 months, you would know that that's false. Like, think of the longing you have. I was just thinking in my own heart, just the longing I have to be back on a Sunday morning, a normal Sunday, to see that your face is in worship, to worship with you, to be in life group, to sit around a table with friends and eat, to sit around a campfire and praise and sing songs of worship. It's a huge part of who we are. And the truth is that God in his sovereignty, God in his wisdom, he gives us the church. He gives us each other. Yes, because we're a tool for redemption, but also to help us in our transformation. We need each other. We need each other pouring into our lives. We need to be transparent with each other. We need to walk through life with the love that we share with each other. So the first thing that we see there is he's missing this. The second thing we see are just the events of life. We're not very clear here in this particular psalm what's going on. He has enemies. They don't seem to be enemies that are trying to kill him, but they're taunting him. And if you look with me and just look in verse 3, you see this at the end of 3. "While they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" I don't know if you've ever been taunted before, whether it's through sports competition or what that may be, but taunting over time can wear on you. Taunting over time can start to get under your skin. And what he's hearing here over and over again is, so whatever's going on in his life, the circumstances are being seen by people around him. So his enemies are consistently saying, okay, where is this God of yours? He doesn't look so good to me. He's all powerful. Like, he's hearing this over and over again, and it's starting to wear on him. And over time, what you'll see in your heart and in your mind so many times is that you start to believe the taunts. You start to doubt. You start to have trust problems. So we see this is going on. And then the third thing is there's definitely something taking place with his health. If you look at verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night." So obviously, he's not eating. So his source of food has become his tears. And he's not sleeping because he's crying through the night. So many times, I feel like that we, in the midst of these times, become very passive. We say, okay, well, God's sovereign, God's in control, and we just become passive. And that's not the call. Health is one of those things. Like this could be a reasoning for the drought that he's experiencing, but it also can be secondary to it, right? And I think so many times, especially, I grew up in this, but especially as pastors, we talk a lot around here, if you're around this very long, about stewardship, stewarding all of life. Yes, a huge part of that is giving, and we're thankful for that, giving your time, serving. But one we leave out a lot is just taking care of your body. And pastors are the worst of this. So we tend to say we sacrifice ourselves for ministry. But the truth is we have a responsibility to take care of our bodies, because if you don't, what you will find in the midst of droughts, what you will find in the midst of where you don't feel God's presence in your life, is you will see that this just makes it worse. There's some things you can control, and there's some things you can't control. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but most of us have. If you've ever been on a diet, let's just say we're going to do a three-week cleanse, a three-week diet, and you jump on the scale, right? You get on the scale, and you see what you weigh. 3 weeks go by, and then you wait for that moment to get back on the scale, and you step back on the scale, and you see you've lost 1 pound. So you drop 1 pound in 3 weeks. And so what happens in that moment is you go rogue. And the next thing you know, you're eating bags of Doritos, you're shoving down Blue Bell, and then you have this massive mountain, because then you're 15 pounds up, and you just say, forget it. Listen, if you look at these situations as passive moments, sometimes what you'll see is that it just seems you're getting further and further away. God's presence is never not with you. God is never not with you, even in the moments where you feel like he may not be. So there's definitely a health issue that may be taking place here. But what he does here is gives us application that is quite incredible. And I want to share some things that are in this particular psalm. First thing that we see is he pours out his soul to God. Look with me at verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? The psalmist here doesn't just sit back. He immediately goes to God and he cries out. Sometimes I think we think that we're doing God a favor by being silent, pretending like he doesn't have the time. Scripture tells us to go to him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. I was reading this week from Paul, not Paul the Apostle, but Paul Tripp, and in his book, New Morning Mercies, he wrote this, and I wanted to share this with you. I thought it was good. He says, your life is really shaped by whom you cry to. If your cry is a complaint, you will find yourself with other complainers, because misery loves company, and your heart will grow more discouraged and hardened. If you cry to people instead of God, you will ask those people to do what God can only do. They will feel overwhelmed and unable, and you will grow more desperate. If you silence your cries, crying only to yourself, you will feel increasingly alone and without anyone who cares and understands, and you will find and feel more and more helpless. The good news of the gospel is that you don't have to muffle your cries. You don't have to be ashamed that you have a reason to cry, and you surely don't have to feel that God is too grand, too far off, or too busy with more important things than to listen to your measly little cries for help. God wants to hear you. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, cry to him. And that's what the psalmist does. The second thing that I think is incredible here is he examines his own hopes. Look at verse 5 and 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God. What he's doing here is he's reminding himself of what he has his hope in. If you were with us 6 weeks ago, it was about 6 weeks ago, we were in Psalms 4. And we were looking at David as he was hiding out for his life, as he was running for his life, if he was away from his throne. And if you look at Psalm 4, Psalm 3 and 4 are connected. And in Psalm 3, what you see is that David in the psalm sees that he has put his hope in his glory into his family and into his people. And on Psalm 3:3, he says this, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." I think so many times we find in life, in the midst of these things, that our hope has been placed on things that can't deliver, that can't withstand, right? A couple of years ago, I had a kidney stone, and I pray you've never had one, but I had a kidney stone, and I was in the doctor's office, and we were talking, and he said this to me, and it's kind of stuck with me. He said that 75% of Americans are dehydrated. He said, it's crazy, because all you got to do is turn on a faucet. But 75% of Americans walk around dehydrated all the time. And it's because they trick their brains. They trick their minds. So what they do is they typically, they feel thirsty. The first thing they'll go to is to a Coke or soda. You know, everything's Coke here. But we go to a drinking Coke, or we drink a sweet tea, or we drink coffee, or we drink alcohol, or we drink all these different things for a brief second that tends to trick our minds to think that we're hydrated. And so what happens is, and it tastes good, so we keep doing that, we keep going back to that, and over time what happens is those things are actually diuretics. They actually dehydrate you more. So what you start to see are things like kidney stones, kidney failure, diabetes, and all this stuff ultimately tricking yourself to think you're hydrating. I look at this and I think, what a picture of our lives, right? We're constantly finding ourselves putting hopes in things that can't deliver, but not only that they can't deliver, that we find ourselves dehydrating, and only thing that can fulfill the hydration is God himself. The psalmist realizes that, so he examines his hopes, and very close to that, I think they're very, very tied together, is he remembers the kindness of God. Look at verse 8. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to God, to the God of my life. I was walking out of that doctor's office, and I looked out. It was a crowd of people out there, and I looked back at him. I said, all these people here for kidney stones? He said, yeah. I said, that's crazy. And he said, yeah, and here's the thing. He said, they'll be back here the same time next year. Because they're going to come in, I'm going to tell them the same thing I told you, and I'm going to tell them if they'll just drink more water, that their problems will go away. And they will. They'll do it for 2 weeks, they'll do it for 3 weeks, and then about a month goes on, and they're right back to putting the other stuff back into their system. And they quickly forget the pain. They quickly forget. So many times, I think many of our issues when we find ourselves in these times of spiritual drought is that we forget God's goodness. We look at our present circumstances instead of looking at God's faithfulness in our lives and his love, his steadfast love. We're to remember. And then the fourth thing is he preaches to his own soul. Dr. Lloyd-Jones, many years ago, had a famous message on this particular psalm. And this is, I want to share this with you. This is what he says. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they're talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Sometimes what we need to do is just tell ourselves to shut up. I think I can say that. Be quiet. I'm not a very good sleeper. I am a good sleeper till I wake up. And so soon as I wake up, I find myself awake. So whether you know, if it's a child or whatever wakes me up, I might as well get up because the voices in my head, they start. Some of those voices are failures from yesterday that are speaking to me. Some of those are fears of the present day. But they're questions like, you're not worthy. They're questions like, do you measure up? Do they really love you, right? Like so many of our issues in life are that we consistently are listening to ourselves instead of preaching to ourselves. John Piper, he takes Romans 8 and he wrote this in a message that was on Psalms 42. He says, listen, self, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for you, how will he not also with him graciously give you all things? Who shall bring any charge against you as God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for you. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? We need to learn to preach the truths, these truths, to ourselves daily. And that's what he does. And then the fifth thing he does is he ultimately thirsts for God. And what's so beautiful here is he's not thirsting for relief from his circumstances. He's thirsting for the presence of the living God. I don't know if you've ever suffered from dehydration. It's a crazy thing. I remember in college, we'd come back from summer to start baseball, and they called it Hell Week for a reason, because you were supposed to be conditioning all summer, eating right, drinking plenty of water, and nobody did it. So you got back, and there were literally trash cans all over the field. You didn't need any equipment because you were going to be running for 3 weeks. And with that, 1 year I got back and had gotten sick in the midst of it, a stomach virus, and the next thing you know, I was in bed. I couldn't get out and rushed to the hospital, and I remember laying in the bed and the doctor saying, you were close to death, just completely dehydrated. And they were pumping IVs of fluid back into my system, and I could feel it, I could honestly feel it running through my veins. That's the picture here, right? I have no idea, I don't think any of us do, what the next 2 weeks, what the next 2 months, what the next year is going to look like in the midst of all that's happened. But my prayer has been for myself, my prayer has been for Summit, my prayer has been for God's people that at the end of this, that what we would be a people that were thirsty. They were thirsty for God. And my prayer is that not only that we would just be thirsty, but that we would be able to look at the things in our life that we've been putting our hopes in over and over again to see that they're going to continue to not live up to what you think they're going to be. That we would find and that we would put our hope into the living God. I know we have people from all over this morning that are tuning in, and many may say, well, how do we trust this? You know, we're walking out of 2 weeks out of Easter, and we look at Jesus, right? And we see Jesus on the cross, and we see Jesus with a dying of an ultimate thirst. We see Jesus being taunted, being ridiculed by people. And we see Jesus being forsaken by the Father. Why? So that you and I wouldn't. So that you and I wouldn't have to experience that. And my prayer is this morning, if you don't know him, if you have questions, that you would, it's not the ideal thing, but if you go online, you can email us, any of the campus pastors, any of the elders. You can call us. We'd love to just sit down and take a moment to talk to you. But for many of us this morning, my prayer is that we would, in the midst of these periods, maybe you're not there right now. I pray you're not. But in the midst, that we would remember God's steadfast love. That we would remember who our hope is in. And that we would rest in that. Verse 9 says this, I say to my God, my rock, my unchanging rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, we are so overwhelmed by your love for us, by your steadfast, unchanging love. And my prayer is that we would be a people that thirsts for the living God. Lord, that you would, in the midst of life, Lord, that you would make things aware that we may be putting our hopes in. That leave us thirsting for the only thing that we can find our true hope in. Lord, in the midst of unknowns, in the midst of what lies ahead, Lord, that we would rest in the rock. That we would rest in you. And we ask these things in your precious holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.